Yiram b'nei Eliyov, Oyin ben Pelos b'nei Ruben. And Korach separated himself together with Dothan v'Aviram b'nei Eliyov, Oyin ben Pelos b'nei Ruben. So Rashi over here points out, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi. But it doesn't mention Ben Yaakov. It stops short of Yaakov Avinu. Why is that? Because Yaakov Avinu asked Rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his name should not be mentioned with the Machloikis of Korach. As it says, B'Kaholom Alteichat Kevaidi. I don't want my covet, my honor, to be mentioned together with their gathering. The Re'ayomim, it mentions that Korach was Ben Yisrael, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. But in the Torah, over there, it does not mention that he was the son of Yaakov. Now the question is, like, what difference does it make if it mentions in the Torah that he was the son of Yaakov or not? I mean, everybody knows that he stammed from Yaakov Avinu. Everybody knows he was descendant of Yaakov Avinu. So if the Torah just stops short of Yaakov, and it says Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, and it doesn't speak out Yaakov, we don't know that he was a descendant of Yaakov. What's the pshat? Especially since in the Re'ayomim it says. So before I ask this question, I want to show the pshat as follows. That of course Yaakov Avinu was not interested in the covet over here of not having Korach Miyuchas after him, because anyway, even if we wouldn't say that Pharisee is Yaakov Avinu's descendant, everybody knows that he is. That's not the issue. What it means over here, though, is as follows. We find throughout the Torah, usually the Torah is Miyachas, a son after a father. But if you find that we're Miyachas them back generations, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron HaKoyin, for example, find the Parshas of Pinchas. Why does it do that? Because it wants to show that Pinchas was Mekayim an act, and it stems from Aaron HaKohen. Everybody knows that it wasn't coming to tell us over here that Yichas, that he was the grandson of Aaron. That wasn't the purpose of the Pasuk. Pinchas did a Maisa of Kanoyas, and people thought that it came from the fact that he was a grandson of Yisrael, who once was an Avodah Zarah. It came from a wrong source. See, here, the Torah is Miyachis, his Maisa, after Aaron HaKohen. And some other places like that also. Mordechai, Ben Yoyer, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yamini. Why is it Miyachis past the father? To show us that he had different milas of the fathers, that his actions really brought out that which he inherited from his fathers. Yaakov Avinu did not want that this Maisa Machloikis should be attributed to him. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu is the Yesoid of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, from Yaakov Avinu's son starts Yisrael HaBapi Shechoti Yisrael. The foundation of Klal Yisrael is actually Yaakov Avinu. If Machloikis would be attributed to him, that means if Yaakov Avinu has in his inner core the Koich of Machloikis, that means there's a crack in the foundation. If there's a crack in the foundation, then the rest of the building can't stand. So Yaakov Avinu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want that this Machloikis should be Miyuchas to me. If it was caused already, it should be something that was caused by Korach, but I don't want you to find that chesaron in me. Because if the chesaron and machloikis lies in me, and the foundation of Klal Yisrael has in it that weakness, there's no chance that the building should stand. I mean, you see Klal Yisrael today. Ma'alach, that machloikis was not a chelik of Yaakov's being. You see how much machloikis there is today, and how many problems it causes. Could you imagine if it would be part of the aside of Yaakov Avinu? The emes is that Rav Aaron says a similar word. We know that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were nifter. Why? Shaleinah lukavin zevazev. So Rav Akiva has the question, where in the world does it say that for not giving kavin one to the other, there's a chiv of Isa? Even Malvin Pnei Chaver Barabim, which is Eilei Chelek Loilam Haba, and it's as if you killed someone, but there's no chiv Misa for that. So because the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they were going, no, who comes ever there, they deserve to die, was their Rabbi Misa. So Rabbi Aaron says, no, Rabbi Aaron says, Rabbi Akiva was the Yisoid of Torah Sheval Peh. He is the one that organized everything. Of course, Torah Sheval Peh was passed down from Har Sinai. But Rabbi Akiva arranged everything in its proper order. Halacha, Agadah, Kabbalah, everything was arranged by Rabbi Akiva, and he passed it down to his Talmidim. And his Talmidim were the first generation that were receiving that Torah to pass on to future generations. if there's a little bit of a crack in that generation in the foundation for Torah Shebaal Peh, then for the rest of time it'll get worse and worse and worse. So those that were the aside of the Messiah of Torah Shebaal Peh, they had to be perfect in matters of Minhag HaMelachah, matters of everything. And if they were not Nogu Kavod Zeh, they could not be present anymore to be that door that's the first one to give it over after Rabbi Akiva. Same thing over here. Yaakov Avinu did not want that Machloekes should be part of the Yisoid of Klal Yisrael. So he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't be Miyachas the Machloekes of Kairach to me. It wasn't a question of knowing whether he came from Yaakov or not. But that should not be considered part of the genes of Yaakov Avinu. It should not be considered part of the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Pasuk says over here, Vayikach Kair ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi, the Dosan of Avira b'nei Aliyah v'ayin ben Pelos b'nei Ruvain. V'ayokumu l'fnei Moshe. And they stood before Moshe. And then the Torah adds on more people. V'anoshim b'nei Yisrael, chamishim u'osayim, people from Klal Yisrael, 250 in the Siyayega, the leaders of the assembly, Kriyei Moyei that were summoned for the meetings, Anshei Shem, men of renown. Now the Chayra, the 250 people were also part of Kairos Eidah. So why does the Torah divide it up and say Kairach and Dosan Vavira and Oyin Ben Pelos stood before Moshe? And then it mentions the 250 people. The way the Pasuk should have said it was, it should have put them all together. Vayikach Kairach, V'dosan Vaviram, V'ayin Ben Pelos, V'chamishim U'masayim Ish, V'yokumu L'vnei Moshe. They all stood before Moshe together. Why does the Torah over here divide them up? I once heard of Shalom Piyagra. Maybe they give up the guy. Mishnah says in Pirkei Yavis, Ezu hi machloikis l'shem shamayim. What is a machloikis l'shem shamayim? Zu machloikis beishami u'beis hillam. Zu machloikis beishami u'beis hillam. The Ezu hi machloikis shaloi l'shem shamayim. Zu machloikis kairach v'adosei. This is the machloikis of kairach and his gathering. So the Vilna Gaon asks the question, why does it say the Machloek is Kairach and his gathering? The same way it says Beishani and Beis Hillel, it mentions both sides of the Machloek is. Here it should say, Zu Machloek is Kairach U'Maisha. So up the Vilna Gaon, that the mission is telling us over here how rotten that Das Kairach was, that they amongst themselves were arguing. They didn't have a common nekuda to come against Moshe for, because they were really only interested in their own personal interests. They were not men of principle. They didn't really mean to come and fight for a principle. Kairach wanted to be the Nasi. And Dosan Vaviram and Shevet Ruvain, they had the Bechayra taken away from them originally. They came for their Bechayra, for their part of the pie. And the 250 people they were originally Bechayra, they had their share of the pie that they wanted. But they weren't misakhe, they weren't all part of the same cause, so they were fighting amongst themselves. So Zumachloikis Kair Vadosai, the Mishnah is telling us, when you don't have a Machloikis L'Shem Shemayim, where people are into it for selfish reasons, the whole gathering ends up arguing amongst themselves. That's the reason why Ovid Torah separates them. First it mentions Kairach, Ben Pelas, and then it says 250 people to show that right away, even from the beginning, there was a chilek within the ranks of Kairach. Kairach Ma'adosai, there was already machlokes within themselves. Why? Because they did not come with a L'Shem Shemayim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Tes Amidei says, Vayikach Kairach, Omar Reish Lokish, Shelokach Mekach Ra La'atzmai. He took a bad deal for himself. What does that mean, he took a bad deal for himself? What kind of a bad deal did he make? So the Marashah, in Masechta Sanhedrin, says that B'derech HaOlam, you have a wealthy man that has money to invest, he's going to look to make an investment that's going to bring him dividends. Over here we know that Kairach was a very wealthy man, Chazal say. And what did he do with his riches? First of all, he felt, if I'm a rich man, I'm just as chashev in my shenara. He abused his riches. Number two, according to some mepharshim, he used his money to bribe the 250 Sanhedrin. He gave them money and he bribed them. So it comes out, what did he do with his riches? He made a wrong investment. Instead of using his riches for tzedakah or to support Talmidei Chachamim, he used his money for a bad investment to cause the machlokes. I saw another beautiful pshat in Shalokach Mekach Rala Atzmai. based on the Medrash. Medrash in Parshas Truma says, Ki lekach, the Pasuk says, Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you a good mekach, a good acquisition. Toirosi al tazayivu. Do not leave my Torah. And the Medrash says, do not leave the good mekach that I gave you. What's the pshat in this? Pshat as follows. There is a frightening Vilna Gaon in Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu Hashamayim v'adaveira v'sishma ha'oretz imreifi yarev kamotar likhi. May my lessons rain down on you like rain. Zok the Vilna Gaon. When it rains on a field, the rain makes everything in the field grow. The vegetables, the grass, the fruits of the trees, the wheat. But it makes the weeds grow also. And if you have poison plants, it makes them grow also. Everything grows together because of the rain. Torah is like rain. Torah makes a person bigger. But whatever the person has in him, that grows because of the Torah. If the person has good midas, it makes the big good midas get bigger and better. But if a person has bad midas within him, then the Torah can make those bad midas get bigger as well. And if a fellow does not work on himself to uproot the bad midas, he could be the biggest maspid. He could be the biggest Talmud Chacham. He could be the most knowledgeable person. It makes the weeds within him also get bigger. This is why Chazal say, Barosi Eitzahar, Barosi Torah Tavlin. Don't just learn the Torah. You have to use the Torah as a potion to uproot from yourself bad midas. Mishnah Berurah says that's learning the Agavas of Chazal, learning the midas, the Musar of Chazal. But status of the Torah, it can breathe the bad midas within a person also. This is what happened with Kairach. Lokach mekach ra'ala atzma. He took the lekach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the year of Kamotar Likri, and he used it in a bad way. If he would have uprooted his bad meters, if he would have uprooted his selfishness, if he would have uprooted his gaiver, then the Torah could have been a Gevaldik as Achvim. He was on a very, very high madrege. But what happened? He thought he was big in Torah, he was great, but he never uprooted the selfishness from himself. He never uprooted the bad meters from himself. And the gaiver from himself, and Ramela his Torah, it made those weeds grow, it made those bad midas grow. See, his Mecca was not the Lekach Toiv Nosati Lochem. It wasn't the Mecca Toiv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. What was it? Lekach Mecca Ra La'atzma. That's trapped in this Medrash, in this Gemara over here. There's a Peladika thing that one of the Svarim points out. It's also frightening. Rashi brings down over here the Kairash of Bikeach Hoya. Kairach that was a Bikeach. My role is Shtuzze. What did he see? How did he think of this nonsense? To be Chaylik on Moshe and on Aaron and to be Chaylik on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, Ro shal shel shal yusin shal ro shal yosin imenu. He saw the Ruach HaKadosh. There's going to be great people coming from him. Shmuel HaNavi, the Shokul Kenevi Moshe and Aaron will come from him. Chok Dalad Mishmaris Levim, that will all say Nevuah, that will all come from him. She says, all this good is coming from me, and I should sit here and remain silent, and not ask for my covet. Obviously, if there's a fight over here, I'm going to be the one that survives. Look at the duel that's coming out of me. But the problem was he didn't see properly, because he didn't realize that the only reason these people are going to come from him is because his son is going to do tshuva. That he wasn't able to see. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the truth. But Kairach was not able to see that. So one of the Svarim points out, a person could be zeichet to Ruach HaKadosh. He's able to see the future. I mean, I'm afraid of that. And yet, when you see only yourself, that Ruach HaKadosh is clouded with your selfishness. It's clouded with your own needs. He thought, he's so afraid this is going to come out. So what did he come to? The obvious conclusion is, oh, it must be me. It must be I'm going to be the one that's victorious. It's like Rabbi by Homa. You know, when Achashverosh tells him, you know, what should I do for a person that Melech Chavis Bechvoidei? So the first reaction of that was, who else is the king going to want to be Mechavid if not for me? Like nothing else dawned upon him. Because Homa was very full of himself. He's full of himself. That's all he saw. So maybe he gave that hate and turned out that hate was meant for Mordechai. Same thing over here. Kairach saw the Ruach HaKadosh. He saw that greatness is going to come from him. The first reaction was, oh, it must be that I'm going to be victorious. Here again you see a person could attain greatness, but if he has those Midas Rois in him, it could cloud his greatness and it could chase him off the derech. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lema. And Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, v'kach me'yitom mater mater l'beis av. Each one should take a staff for his father's house. Me'yis kol nisiyehem u'beis avoysom, shnei moser mater, 12 staffs altogether. Ish es shmoy tiftav al mateyu. Each man should write his name on the staff. That's Shem Aaron Tiftav al Mata Levi. The name of Aaron you should write on the staff of Levi. Kimat after the Rosh Beis Avoisa. Vihinachtem by El Moye Lufnei Aedis. Put it in the Mishkan in front of the Aaron. Asher Yivoy Lachosham where I meet with you. Vahoyo Ish Asher Efka by Mateu Yifra. The one that I choose, his staff is going to blossom. Vashim Kaisim Yolayas Tulos Bnei Yisrael. I will subside. I will calm down the complaints of the Bnei Yisrael. Ashehem Alina Malechem, that they're complaining against you. So Leib Hasman, in the Sefer Or Yoel, points out something gewaltig over here. We find that there were three Einshim that were given to Adas Perech. Number one, they were swallowed up by the earth. Number two, there was a fire that consumed a lot of them. Number three, there was a plague amongst the nation. And only then, only after these three Einshim, the swallowing up and the fire and the plague, only after that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this nes, and he showed who he really wants to be chosen for himself. It's a fact of life, Hasman. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu first have to punish them? Right away, you should have made this nes. Take a look. You'll see who the nes is for, and you'll see that he's the chosen one. Why was it first necessary to punish everyone and to bring so much magay from Klal Yisrael? And only then, the Mata Aaron will be perech. Why couldn't he do this nes right away? So Rav Leib brings down a Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, Kosher HaLeitzonis. Leitzonis is so bad, Shetchilosa Yisurim V'Soifoy Kloya. It starts out with terrible anguish and ends up with tremendous destruction. So Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato explains that someone that puts thought into something, someone that's introspective, someone that is a Baal Machshava, he does not need Yisurim to be Meshiv Yimlam Butav. He's a person that thinks. He's a person that takes things seriously. And if a fellow comes to conclusions that he has to change his ways, he will do so. But a person that's a less, a person that's a scoffer, and he makes fun of things, I don't mean a person that enjoys a good joke, you know. Good humor is a very big mile. It's good to be with some mad people, but Mark says that. And that's not what I mean when I say a less. A let's means somebody that undermines, somebody that pokes fun at concepts, pokes fun at people, and he makes a litzumis out of something, he cheapens something, he lightens something. Such a person will never be makabel teichocha, because I'll say, litzona achas deiche mea teichas. The Medrash tells us that what did Kairach do? So, pachadik and Medrash, Yalkut Shemayim brings down the following. Kairach gathered everybody together, and he made litzonos from Moshe and Aaron. He said the following. It says in the pasuk, "Ashri ha'isha shalihalim batzas rishoyim uvamoitzim Moshe leitzim layoshev." First pasuk in Tehillim, "Ze Kairach" is referring to Kairach. Shohayim misloitzit al Moshe and Aaron. He made litzonos against Moshe and Aaron. What did he do? He got together the whole Eidah, and he started saying divrei litzonos. He said the following. There was an almona, a poor almona, that lived in my neighborhood. She had two daughters that were yisoymais, and she owned one field. That's all she had. She came to plow the field. So Moshe came to her, he says, no, watch out. You're not allowed to plow. Then the almona came to start planting. Oh, be careful. You're not allowed to plant your line. She came to harvest. And to start making a pile of tour, he says, you gotta leave like a chicken payer, you gotta leave that for the aniyim. Then she came to store it in a storage house. Wait, you gotta give trumas and maizes. He kept on milking her and milking her and milking her. So finally she gave up. you know, taking this and taking that, and there's so many restrictions. So she decided she'll sell the field and she'll buy herself 2 sheep. She could have hanok from the wool. She could sell the wool, whatever. Gets her. The minute the sheep gave birth, Aaron came to her and says, Bechara, you gotta give me your Bechara. Bechara Tzayka. She gave him the Bechara. Came time to shear the sheep. Aaron HaKohen came, raises her gaze. You gotta give me the first of the shears. So she said, I have no Kohen for this. What am I supposed to do? So she shafted them from the meat. And the Kohen comes and says, Shroyal Chayayim Keva, give me that. She said, if that's the case, I'm making it Chayim. Oh, Chayim. Belongs to the cow. The people were sitting there and they were clapping and they were making the tzunis and they got all riled up. This is the way they treat our mothers. And there were women there that were saying that this is the way you treat poor old ladies. This was the tzunis that they made against Moshe and Aaron. The tzunis, even if you give them the biggest nisan, if a letz would see the biggest nace, but he's mevatel everything. He undermines everything. If the nisim would have been shown lechitchila, without giving them any yinshim, without uprooting the leitzanim, the nisim would not have had an effect whatsoever. Zakrublei chasman. The first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do was to uproot the litzanis. You made fun of mitzvahs and the Torah. You made fun of Moshe Avdi and Aaron, my chosen ones. The first thing was ground opened up and swallowed them up and burnt away some others. And there was a magefa. Once the litzanis was gotten rid of, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now let me show you what the emes is. You were choshed Moshe and Aaron. I'll show you what the emes is. You'll see the nes. You'll see that Aaron was meant to be the chosen one for the kohen. But as long as he wouldn't have uprooted the litzanis, as long as there's a ruach of litzanis there, then it's not shayach. It's not shayach that a person should be mekabel beifachah. The emes is that the gedolim, previous gedolim, by them even a joke, what to us is considered a kosher joke, that they stayed away from that also. They were so orangutan. The mice with the Shagas Aryeh. Somebody came to the Shagas Aryeh for smicha. The Shagas Aryeh gave him a bechina. Gave him a faher. He did very well, you know. Want to give him a smicha. Says, no, let's celebrate. With a michael to celebrate your smicha. Shagas Aryeh was mamish poor. All he had was a couple of eggs and a little bit of schnapps, which were both shahaka. He said, which one do you put the shahakal on the eggs or on the schnapps? So the fellow says, Beferish the Pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk in the Torah, wow. It says, yeah, it says, V'ho ay nikedem. The ay comes first, the egg comes first. Shahakal says, what's the tzonis? I raise. Didn't give us me either. You know, we would think it's a nice, cute play on words, a nice joke. But Doylem, you know, they were very much afraid of the tzonis, you know. But over here, where the tzunis was meant to undermine, was meant to take away chashivas from Moshe and Aaron, you could have the biggest nisim in the world, they'll make a tzunis of that as well. The pasuk goes on to say, Vayomer Hashem al Aaron. Vayomer Hashem al Aaron. Ba'arsam loisimchal. You're not going to get a chelik of Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. The chelik lo yielecha b'seicha. You're not going to have a portion with them. Ani chel kecha v'nachalosra. I am your portion. I am your inheritance, says Hashem. B'seich b'nei Yisrael. So what are the b'nei Levi going to be supported with? The Kahanim and the Levian. V'le b'nei Levi hinei nosati kol ma'aser v'Yisrael. The nachla. I gave ma'aser to the Levian. Chelef avoidosam Hashem oidim. It's avoidos oil ma'id. Because they do the avoidin oil ma'id. Because of that, they're going to get ma'aser. You see from this, the Shevet Levi did not have a portion of Eretz Yisrael. They did not work the karka throughout the year. And because they were busy with taking care of the Mishkan and saying Shira, as a payment for that, they were given Meiser. Now, the Meshech Chochma points out a Meirik and Machshav here. The Rambam says that there were 24 different shifts of the Levium. Every Levi served in the Beis HaMikdash once every 24 weeks. That means over a period of a year, a Levi served maybe for 2 days a year. So the lady only worked for 2 days a year. Why couldn't he work on karka for the rest of the year? He was only responsible in the Mishkan for 2 days a year. He had plenty of time to work on karka. Why couldn't he get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? And we'll give the lady all the maestris. Just because he works for 2 days a year, he deserves all the maestris. What's the pshat? Zachar Meir Simcha, you see from over here what it meant to work in the Beis HaMikdash twice a year, how much they had to prepare themselves to be able to work in the Beis HaMikdash twice a year. It wasn't the Davar Pashut, just to go in twice a year and all of a sudden turn yourself on and do the Avodah. It took tremendous Hakhana. It took tremendous Avodah. It took designating themselves for Tefillah and for Liman HaTorah and preparing themselves for this tremendous job. So they were busy the rest of the year. They did their Avodah twice or three times a year in the Mishkan. The rest of the time they had to prepare themselves. And that was a tremendous Avodah. I saw a Moir D'Gemaisa, Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, while it was a literature, he used to come in to America at least once a year. One of the main purposes was to meet to speak to the Sachmer Rebbe. Zecher Tzadik L'Kodesh Livrach. He used to spend a lot of time with the Sachmer Rebbe. And this took tremendous preparation. He used to prepare himself for this. It wasn't stop. He used to prepare himself for this. Anyway, one time he left Manchester to make his annual visit to the Sachmer Rebbe, the Rei Yael. And one of his talmidim that didn't have children for a long time, he asked the Rosh Yeshiva if he could mention his name to the Sachmer Rebbe. He said, yeah, he took down his name. Fine. Kids, he came to the Rebbe, and they spent a lot of time together. The Rosh Yeshiva forgot. And he's going out, and the Shamash reminds him, he says, oy, Rosh Yeshiva didn't mention that fellow's name to the Rebbe. He says, oy, so the Shamash says, so let the Rosh Yeshiva go back now to the Rebbe and mention his name. He says, I can't do that. He says, it's easier for me to promise him a child by myself than to have to make new hachonas now to go in and speak to the Rebbe. It is. So the Shamash told him, Sadrabba, so let the Rosh Yeshiva give a haftach. And he did. And within the year, he had a ben zachar. This is a story set over by his grandson, Reb Aaron Trout. His grandson of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, he said, look at this mice, and he saw the mice himself. And so you're talking about someone that had to make hachonas to go see the Sachmer Rebbe, how he was in the packet of making those hachonas. Could you imagine what hachonas were necessary to go and serve in the Mishkan? So for 2 days a year to go and serve in the Mishkan, it took tremendous hachonas. The mail for that? We give them maestros all year, and how come they didn't get karka? That was not their job to work. This was the amount of hachon that was necessary to do the avodah in the Mishkan. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
According to the first chapter,